The question is this: what is it that has some of us find our way to the top of our game, to overcome adversity and challenges, resistance and self-sabotage, to rise from the ashes time and time again? What is it that has everyday people just like you and I act boldly in the name of their passions and live out their wildest dreams in this lifetime? That is the question, and this podcast has the answers. My name is Carrie McCauley, and this is Choose Unstoppable.
Hello, and welcome to Choose Unstoppable. My name is Carrie McCauley, and today we are here with Steve Ulscher. And I want to tell you a little bit about Steve, and it's going to take me a minute because he has quite the group of credentials here. So listen to this. He's the founder and editor-in-chief for Podcast Magazine, creator of Club Pod, which is on Clubhouse, and it's the largest podcast group on any social media platform. So that is saying something. He's also a New York Times bestselling author. His book is What Is Your What? Discover the One Thing You Were Born to Do. He is also a real estate developer, creator of the New Media Summit, host of the number one rated podcast Reinvention Radio, international keynote speaker, and has appeared on CNN, The Huffington Post, the cover of Founder, and countless other media outlets. Well done, you. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. And that's all the time that we have. And see you later at the next episode. Thank you.
Exactly. Well, I was like, I could have shortened it, but I was like, there's too much good stuff here. We needed like the crowds roaring for this to start today.
We trimmed the fat out and we just left all the good.
Exactly. It's all good. It was all good. I'm super interested.
There's three truths and a lie in there, by the way. You have to tell me which are the three truths and the lie.
No, there's not.
No, there's not. I'm just playing.
Oh, I was like, I love my confidence. I'm like, there's no way. It's all true.
Yeah, that was impressive. You were more convicted around that than I am. That was
impressive. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good at denial. I'm really interested to hear how...
You're having a much better hair day than I am, by the way.
Thank you. It's not been washed in a few days, so it's
really that's the greasy look. All right,
it
nice.
Is, but it works. It's working it today. Works. Yeah, I didn't feel like I needed to do much. And you know what? You're
thanks. Even with all those accolades, you read the bio. You knew who you were going to be sitting down with, and you didn't feel like you had to shower for 3 days. Wow,
so good. Wow. No, this is good hair game. I'm bringing good hair game. That's what it is. Yes.
You planned for the future. Nice.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, a little extra grease. Okay, we digress so soon. So soon, yes. Steve. Okay, so we're back on track. I am super interested to hear how on earth you got to where you are. I want to hear your whole story. But before we do, the one thing that sticks out to me is your book. First of all, New York Times bestselling author. Huge kudos to you. Well done. That's no easy feat. But your book is called Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do. Amidst a bio of so many incredible things that you have.
Kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yes. So the irony is not wasted on me. And I needed to say, what was your one thing if you've done so many incredible things and checked so many boxes?
Yeah, I think if I rewrote the subtitle today, because that book came out in 2013, okay. I would say that the subtitle should probably be Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do for Now. Because it is more fluid, it is more organic. Things change over time. Obviously, Brendan Burchard, who I've known for a number of years, says that basically things happen. You can think about it this way: like the changes that are made in our lives, is what Brendan says. The changes that are made in our lives either happen because either something new comes into our lives that affects that change, or something new comes out of us, right? Mm-hmm. And so the reality is, we are naturally wired to excel in very specific ways. I mean, our DNA is set. That's why when you look at the cover of the book, you see the DNA strand, and that reflects your core gift, which is really just that one thing that you're really naturally wired to excel at. But the other pieces of the What Is Your What framework, which are the vehicle that you will use to share that gift, and then the people that you're most compelled to serve. So it's the gift, the vehicle, and the people that make up the What Is Your What framework. The gift is pretty static, but the vehicle and the people, those can evolve over time. So definitely more along the lines of what you're, you know, really inspired to do and what you're created to do, and that one amazing thing you were born to do for now in this moment as your education and your experience and your exposure to the world really, you know, really evolves.
I love that. And what's your one thing that you're really good to do, or that you're really...
So
to do right now.
So I can answer that from the standpoint of what the gift is, right? Because again, the core gift really stays with you over the course of a lifetime. I would actually say, if you had asked me this a while ago, I would actually say that my core gift was communication. And then it obviously shows up in various ways through books and podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. But I think what I'm much more aligned with now is my core gift, now that I'm older and have really just started to see how I have done things over the years, I actually think my core gift is enrolling. Not communicating, but actually enrolling. And being able to enroll people into the vision that I have around whatever that is, and passing off that enthusiasm, that energy, and really just what I can see that other people can't, requires really being able to enroll them into that vision. And so I would say that the gift is really enrolling. Now, the vehicle that I use to share that gift, of course, that, as I said, changes over time, and the people that I'm most compelled to serve changes over time as well. So we can get deeper in that, but let me get off the soapbox for a second and let you talk.
I love it all. I find it very interesting, that whole quick little discussion we just had there. I guess I would say I'm enrolled in that whole philosophy. I think it's really interesting. And I think you're right. As we evolve over time, I'm just simply not the same human I was 10 years ago. I don't have the same interests. I don't have the same surroundings. I'm now a mom. Like, everything can change. So the idea of it evolving and the vehicles changing, but probably at my core, I still have a set of strengths or gifts or talents, whatever we're going to call them, that will kind of set the stage through each of those phases. Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly right. I mean, again, it's a lot of awareness, and it's a lot of just trial and error and brain damage and trying to figure out who you are and what you're good at and what comes as naturally to as breathing and the other stuff that just kind of feels like work.
Mm-hmm. And so was it always kind of communication / enrolling? Take us back a little bit. How did you get to be this dude?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, even way back in the early days of being a DJ in a nightclub and spinning records and just like enrolling people into my ear, right? Because as a DJ, your job is really to have an ear for what's new and what's now, what's next, that sort of thing. And then to play those songs and give people the opportunity to enroll into the vision that you have around the music that you're playing. So I think it does go all the way back to some of those early days, and then opening up my own nightclub when I was 19. And it was a non-alcoholic nightclub, and convincing people that they needed to come to a non-alcoholic nightclub, which at the time was a relatively new phenomenon in the scheme of things. And then even launching on CompuServe's Electronic Mall in 1993 and telling people, hey, you know, this whole world of the interwebs is something you need to really be thinking about and be a part of. And real estate development and enrolling people into the vision for these particular projects and putting their hard-earned cash into those projects with the hope of getting, you know, a great return. And then podcast, magazine, right? The events that we've done, on and on and on, all required that degree of enrollment to get people to really see that vision as well. And then the next thing that I'm doing is going to require some serious enrolling, because it's really creating a third class of real estate altogether that doesn't currently exist. And that's gonna really wake some people up to the fact that, you know, they kind of been living under a rock in terms of just seeing two viable options for their primary residence. But in fact, there's this whole other opportunity for living that so many people don't know about. And frankly, I mean, no one really knows about, because I'm creating it. So there you go.
Well, there's so much I could dig into here, but I am like, it is unavoidable to not at least probe a little on this third realm of real estate. So what is the mysterious class?
So this mysterious class of real estate is, for years, as a matter of fact, I would argue for hundreds of years, we've really been convinced that there's only two options in terms of how and where we live, which is we can either rent. And so as a renter, we have some degree of flexibility in terms of being able to move from location to location. Typically, you have a lease. And so maybe that's a month-long lease, but typically it's a year-long lease. And you're able to move, a little bit of flexibility. You know, it's your own place, so you have some privacy. But you don't build any equity. I mean, you really make the landlord quite rich by paying out that rent every single month, and you're paying down their mortgage. So that's one option. The second option is traditional home ownership, right? And the white picket fence. And you find a neighborhood, you decide you want to buy that home. You got to come up sometimes with a pretty hefty down payment, which puts it out of reach for so many. Then, of course, you make the banks very rich and you thank them for giving you the loan that ultimately makes them very, very rich. But you build equity. And over time, you have real equity in terms of having an asset on your books. And it's something that is saleable in the future. And you have privacy in terms of it's your own place, which is awesome. But you have zero flexibility because you're tied to that house. I mean, I guess you could rent it out and then go elsewhere, but you know, realistically, you're tied to that single home. And so what I'm creating is something that I am calling Latitude. And so what Latitude is this third class of real estate, so to speak, that I have termed as flexible housing. So you can think about it sort of as housing as a service, so to speak. And with all this work from home and so much that we've seen with people being able to really work from anywhere, the question is, if you can work from anywhere, why shouldn't you be able to live everywhere? And so what Latitude does is it gives people the opportunity to pay one set monthly fee, and they can move from Latitude location to Latitude location as often as every 30 days. And so if you want to spend 6 months in Boston, great. You want to spend 2 months in DC, great, whatever it is. But as often as every 30 days, you can move into a different Latitude location that is member-owned, and ultimately you build equity as if you are a homeowner without all the headaches of homeownership. And so it really becomes a collaborative, for lack of a better term, it's a collaborative initiative, it's a collaborative endeavor between Latitude and its members, and all ships rise in the process. But that's the biggest difference here, is this is the primary residence. So it's not an Airbnb. You're not going out and renting it or doing this, that, and the other. It's not a timeshare. This is actually your primary residence, and it gives you the opportunity to build equity, again, as if you're a homeowner without the headaches of homeownership, because all the places are fully furnished. You literally just pack and go, you know, your own personal belongings and head out. Privacy, because, again, these are your own places. And flexibility, so that you can live wherever you want for however long you want to live there, and you don't have to worry about being tied down to a lease or being tied down to a single residence.
And so who's on title?
So Latitude is on title. Okay. And so Latitude actually owns all of the properties, and there are members of Latitude that, again, benefit along with the company as appreciation takes place, as equity is built, and so on. And again, it becomes a collaboration really between members and Latitude, as opposed to just being a one-way street that just makes landlords rich.
Right. So it's kind of like a rewards program almost, except it's cash. That's the rewards. It's like equity that where you're actually making some money.
Correct. And you don't have to come up with the down payment. So this gives you actually, you're basically at this point, let's just say there are 300 members in Latitude, let's just call it Latitude number one, right? And there'll be different memberships and different groups depending on our growth and our trajectory. But let's just call it Latitude one. There's 300 homes. So you now own a piece from day one of 300 different homes, as opposed to just one home. And the longer you are a member, then the more that vests for you. And the longer you're a member, then the more equity that you build.
Very cool. You're right. I have heard of nothing like it. It's almost like Latitude, you're buying shares in Latitude, kind of. I mean, there's nothing really that it equates to. That's kind of like, you can come up with as many analogies as you want, but it does feel like its own thing.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. And when's that coming to life?
So we're going to start putting out some of the marketing material towards the end of the year here, and we'll take deposits on the first 300, right? Because it's a fairly capital intensive initiative, as I'm sure you can imagine, between acquiring the real estate and furnishing the real estate and so on. So we'll start marketing this. And then ultimately, when we're ready to go, you know, people have to pull the trigger and make this their primary residence. So it'll probably launch in, I'm thinking probably second quarter 2022 is when we'll actually launch. But we'll start marketing towards the end of 2021.
Wow, very cool. And like with your history and your experience and your skill sets, it seems like there's always so much going on in your world, and it's quite diverse and it's quite varied. What is that about you specifically as an entrepreneur, do you think, that gives you the courage or the gumption just to be like, you know what, I want to do this, I'm just going to do it. You know what, this seems like a cool idea, I'm going to bring that to life? Because we all have ideas, and some of your ideas have obviously been very well executed, or this real estate one is completely foreign to the way we're doing things currently. So what do you think that is that has you be that way and just be like, I'm going to be the one, I'm going to choose to be the one?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's a great question. And so I had the fortunate opportunity to sit down with a woman by the name of Patrice Washington, actually just a couple of days ago. And she said it about as good as, if not better than, anyone that I have ever heard refer to this whole sort of conundrum that we as entrepreneurs face around, what do I move forward with when I've got so many ideas, right? So many different things come to me, and how do I know what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing? And she phrased it as the things that she moves forward with, she knows that there's a difference between what is a good idea, and it seems like a decent opportunity to do something, and a God idea, which is something that literally comes down to you and you can't shake and you can't let go of. And for me, Latitude has been something that I have been sitting with now for the better part of 2 years, almost 2.5 years since I first started talking about it. And given everything that happened with COVID and the acceleration of the trends of work from home, you know, the flexibility of being able to do what you need to do from wherever you need to do it, more digital nomads, and it's like all these convergence of trends is just screaming at me, especially as some of my friends are now saying, hey, you know, I'm going to sell my house, I want to go ahead and get in this RV, and I want to just travel, and we're going to live in this RV. And then they try it for a month, and they're like, forget that, right? Like, there's got to be something else. So just all of these conversations, all these things. I was at a conference, actually a podcast movement, about a month ago. And I am walking from one part of the conference hall to another part of the conference hall, and I happen to catch just a little bit of the speaker. And the one sentence that I heard her say was something about how podcasters need the latitude to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, all right, I get it. Fine. There you go. Thank you. Like, just had to drop that word in. Like, when else is anybody going to use that word? So that's how I know. And when I just can't shake it, it's just like Podcast Magazine. I mean, it was one of those things where I just looked there out of the marketplace and just said, you know, if I don't do it, someone else will. And I'm not going to be able to sleep at night knowing that I had that idea. But I really think we all have our antennas up, Carrie. And it's like all these ideas are just kind of floating around the universe. I'm not going to say I'm egotistical enough to really think that these ideas come from me. But they're out there somewhere. And we all have these antennas and receptors up. And they land on you. And if you don't do anything with it, that idea is going to go right back out into the universe, spin back around until somebody says, oh yeah, I'm moving forward with that.
And the courage and the gumption is a part too, because I think we get these God moments. I mean, this podcast for me was one, and I've had many, and I think many of us can relate to that. But then there's that voice that kicks in, or this non-God creative voice that's like, well, what if this were to happen, and how are you going to do that, or who are you to think you're going to do that? Do you battle that, or did you just not experience that, and you're just like, a magazine? Sure, I'll make the greatest one.
I battle it every day. You know, I mean, the reality is, how many magazines have I launched in my career? And the answer is zero. Right. So now that we've got this great magazine, it's like, okay, what do we do with it? You know, and every single month we're like, should we do it again? I don't know. Should we do it again? I don't know. I mean, like, literally every single month there's that challenge. And you look at something like Latitude. I mean, if we just run simple numbers here, and let's say, depending on the market that we're looking at, that we end up having to get 300 homes, right, for our 300 members. Assuming that we have a 50%, and we'll probably need more than that, but assuming that we put down 50% on all of these properties, if these are, let's just say, $500,000 on average, depending on where they are and what they are, you know, that's $150 million, right? So if we've got to come up with 50% of that, and then to furnish it and whatnot, you know, that's at least $100 million proposition to get Latitude One, meaning Group One, whatever, Fund One, whatever you want to call it, off of the ground. And so that's the kind of thing where you scratch your head and you go, well, you know, who am I to yeah. to be able to do something like that?
Yeah, the enroller. That's who.
Yeah.
That's probably why it will work, because it takes someone with a big enough vision and a good enough crafted communication skill set to be able to not only paint the vision, but like make it beneficial to the person you're talking to, like to have them see themselves as part of your vision.
Yeah. Yeah. So know. just as a focus group here, we're going to do a live focus group, and all of you listening are part of this live focus group. So how does that idea land on you? Like, do you say that's brilliant? Do you say that's the dumbest thing I ever heard? Like, how does that even land on you? Because that's part of this process in terms of knowing the difference between the good idea and the God idea, is to get feedback and not be so egotistical enough to think that you have all of the answers, right? Yeah. So,
I'm an interesting focus group, because in 2 weeks, probably by the time this episode ever reaches the ears of our listeners, I will have moved my family to Costa Rica. I'm right now just Toronto in Canada. And we are in the midst of selling all of our belongings, packing up our world, and moving to Costa Rica to start anew. I think a big part of that is the way of the world. The world is no longer the way that it used to be. The thought of like outside living, the thought of kind of just a different world is pulling us in that direction for sure. But something like this, something like Latitude, is a very interesting concept to someone who has, like, we're a family of entrepreneurs. And so we've designed our lives to be location independent, because it's been a goal and a dream. And I wouldn't say that it was easy, because the world isn't set up for people like us. The world is set up for those of us who were told to go get a good job, you know, keep that job for as long as you can, and then you keep your benefits and soon you'll retire. And that's the way the world was set. So for those of us who are trying to break that mold and claw back some freedom, claw back some of this planet and be able to claim it as ours, I think this concept is very interesting. I may be assuming wrongly that right now it's something that you're keeping national, like across the United States. Is that more of where these member homes will be?
Honestly, I see it as more of an international play.
Yeah.
I do see there would be some U.S. for sure. But I, you know, with all due respect to Kansas City, Missouri, I don't see a lot of our folks, you know, wanting to be in Kansas City, Missouri. I would say they, and having had these conversations, and this is where the membership comes in, and we start talking about, like, once you've secured the spot in terms of the, sorry, once we've secured the members for that first group, now it's a matter of securing the spots, right? And so that's where we would go to the community and say, let's vote on this thing, because ultimately we're all in this together. Yeah. It is a collaborative effort. Again, we all rise together with this. Yeah. And so where would you like to see these places be? And I, in the conversations that I've had, definitely see these as being more, let's just say, nomad-ish friendly in terms of some of the things that are going on in those areas and those communities. So I do see it as more global in scope, but some of that obviously needs to be played out.
Yeah, for sure. That will take some ironing for all the different housing laws and all the different things. But I would say, from a personal perspective, I think the feedback that I get by, you know, doing the things that I'm doing is more and more and more and more and more and more and more people wish they had access to this kind of world. I think if there were a way to do it with a way to earn income, I know that this is, you know, for being able to get some of your investment back that way is really great. I think that's wonderful. I think the world is longing for a way to be able to create their own source of income without having to be tied down anymore, and to have a home or homes, an infrastructure of homes that they could travel around with would only be to support that. I think it is the creation of a radical new way of doing things that needs to happen. And it sounds like you're right on the edge of that.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, no, thanks for
congrats on the move. How cool is that going to be?
I know, it's a big deal. Yeah. We're excited. I mean, we go through now stages of pure excitement and just like, whoo, it's a bigger deal. I got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Oh man.
And you know, we're packing up this house, and we were there for 3 months. We just went for a 30-day vacation. We were like, got to get out of here. Went for a 30-day vacation, which turned into 3 months, which turned into it's now or never. Like we've talked about it. We've dreamt about it. The world is definitely nudging us in that direction. And so we just came back now, 6 weeks, selling everything, packing everything, and 2 weeks to go.
Wow. Yeah. See, and you will inspire others to do the same.
I was inspired when I was there. That is really part of all of this, part of having a podcast, part of having a podcast magazine, part of having the largest podcast group on any social media platform, is just to be able to share our stories and inspire and motivate great change, or just a tiny little nugget for someone else to feel, find, seek something from someone else. It's just story on top of story on top of story. And then the world is a beautiful place, I think, if we can just tap into that kind of network.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And you will, and you'll inspire.
Yeah. I mean, first I'll get through it somehow. I mean, hopefully it will like come out rosy. So people will be like, that looks good. And I won't have like some kind of twitch at the end and, you know, 1.5 children instead of 2, but I think it'll be okay. I think on the other side, we're going to be all right. Yeah. And it's, you know, there's worse places to be. It's hard to feel sorry for me in these situations right now. Yeah. I don't have too many people feeling bad for me when I share this.
They story. Will not feel bad for you.
They will not. I don't think so. So what is it that you are, so you're working on this project and you're keeping all this other stuff going. What is it that, what's the podcast Reinvention Radio? Is that still going? Are you, just juggling everything?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, I will say that I've been able to figure out how to just make things work together. Like, for instance, we do a lot on Clubhouse. We run Club Pod, which is the largest podcast group on Clubhouse, of over 60, almost 67,000 members now. And so for Reinvention Radio, we actually do a lot of our episodes live on Clubhouse, and then we take those recordings and put them out as episodes of the show. So the two really do go nicely hand in hand. And so, yeah, I mean, between Reinvention Radio, and then I've got a team that runs the magazine. Yeah, it kind of hums at this point. And just like any other entrepreneurial journey, I mean, there's ebbs and flows, and in the real estate stuff that I still have from a development standpoint, I've got people who run those buildings. So, yeah, you know, it's not easy, and mistakes are made, and there's always some sort of, you know, conflict that comes up when you're not doing it yourself. But it's the ebb and the flow and the give and the take of do you want to be doing this 100% of the time, or do you and have, you know, as few mistakes as possible, or is it worth it to do it 10% of the time and have more mistakes than you would like, but it gives you 90% of your life back.
Right. 90% of your life back. That's more my jam. That part is the 90%. Though the mistakes, I do hear you on that. So before we wrap up here, if you were to give one piece of advice, given the book that you wrote, the What's Your What, and your, you know, varied experience throughout your entire career so far, obviously, and someone is a multi-passionate on the verge of creating, starting something, what's your one thing that you would go back and tell yourself or tell someone who's right there right now?
Do it sooner. Mm.
Yeah, that's you don't really need to say much after that. Just do it already.
Do it sooner.
Yeah. And people just, like, you think it's just perfectionism that's holding people back?
Fear, imposter syndrome, not feeling like you have all the answers, all the capital, whatever it is. And you never will.
You never will. All right. Well, you heard it here, my friends. Do it sooner. Whatever it is you're thinking about, whatever it is you're sitting on, whatever God ideas have come to you, whatever your antenna has caught swirling around the multiverse, grab it and do it sooner. And I couldn't agree more, quite frankly. And just one last, you know, just huge congrats to you, Steve, on doing it sooner time and time again and all of your success. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for sharing your whole journey and all your wisdom with us today.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Those of you listening in from home, thank you as always. I love our time together. We will see you next week. And until then, my friends, choose unstoppable. Wait, one second, Steve, how are we going to stop you? How are we finding you? Where I clearly I need more you in my world, given all your podcast things. So I'm resourceful. I will figure out how to stalk you, but let's like make it a little more obvious.
So three easy things, podcastmagazine.com/free. So that is a private backdoor link to grab a free lifetime subscription to the magazine.
Come on.
Podcastmagazine.com/free. What is your what? .com, and we give away actually the entire book there, so you don't have to do anything in terms of running out to buy it. Just go to whatisyourwhat.com and you can grab a free copy of the entire book there. And then if you love podcasts, podcast culture, the world of podcasting, et cetera, why don't you join us and hang out with us in Club Pod on Clubhouse, and we'd love to see you there.
So cool. Well, you can bet that I will be doing all of those things. And for those of you listening at home, I'll make sure all of that goes into the show notes. Don't stop what you're doing. Don't pull over. It's okay. We'll get it all there for you. And now for realsies, Steve, I'm going to say goodbye. Not without saying thank you one more time. We'll see.
Thanks again for having me.
You bet.
Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me if you enjoyed the content to please leave a review and a rating and subscribe to the show. It'll help others find us so that we can spread this important message. We'll see you in the next episode. Until then, choose unstoppable.